Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I am Tiziana Deering. Patrick Rose currently sits in jail facing 33 counts of sexual abuse of six children from ages 7 to 16. He is the former president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. Allegations began surfacing against him last August. Now, new records uncovered by the Boston Globe, however, show that department leadership was aware of allegations of child abuse against Rose as early as 1995. Rose kept his job even after an internal investigation found he likely committed a crime and was allowed to work with vulnerable children. He ultimately rose to power in the union and, as reporter Andrew Ryan writes, quote, allegedly preyed on a new generation of children, end quote. Andrew Ryan is an investigative reporter at the Boston Globe and he joins us now. Andrew, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Andrew, first, what are the criminal charges that Rose is facing?
So, as you mentioned, he faces 33 counts of different kinds of child abuse. The allegations are pretty staggering and horrendous. And, you know, your heart goes out to victims in a case like this, or victims in any case involving allegations of child sexual abuse. But in this particular case, obviously, this made big news last summer because he was a pretty well-known face around the city because of his role as president of the union.
So one doesn't want to put too much of a face on a story like this, I know, Andrew, in order to protect the identities of the victims. You open the story, though, with this heartbreaking anecdote of a father bringing his daughter to the Hyde Park police station to report abuse by Rose. And you write that the father also accuses Rose of having molested him decades ago. So without getting specific, can you characterize the scope of the alleged abuse?
I don't want to go beyond at all what has been printed. That original scene kind of kicked off what we all learned about this summer when he was first charged with abusing one child, and then more alleged victims came forward. So that was kind of the thing that started this whole thing, and so that all goes back to that's when this immediately made big news because of kind of the horror of these allegations.
So you're now reporting that. Please.
No, go ahead.
Well, you're now reporting that an internal investigation, a police internal investigation into the allegations that Rose sexually abused a 12-year-old boy in 1995, found that he likely committed a crime. What do you know about how he was able to keep his job after that finding in an internal investigation?
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to figure out now. I mean, it might be easiest if I kind of walk us through kind of how we got to there. So back in, after he was arrested, we looked in the data that we've amassed over the last few months and going back years at the Globe. Some of my colleagues like Todd Wallach, Matt Rosselló, they have gathered internal affairs records from the police department. And we have an index that basically, it's essentially a list where it shows you the different cases that officers have faced. And so when he was arrested, we looked up Patrick Rose's name. And he faced an allegation that we've learned over time is a little bit of a red flag. It's something called conformance to laws. And it means that at one point, the department believed that he broke the law. And so after he was arrested, we found that he faced a conformance to laws investigation back in 1995. And so we asked the department for it. We wanted a copy of the investigation. And they said no. And they cited a law that protects the identities of victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. And so that to us was an immediate sense that, you know, this was a pretty serious allegation. And so we felt like we needed to dig deeper to find out what was underneath this case back in 1995.
So now we find ourselves in a situation where you've gotten this information, part of the outcry now is the withholding of information, the lack of transparency from the Boston Police Department. Acting Mayor Kim Janey provided you with a written statement in response to this story. She shared it with us, too, today. In part, it reads, quote, "Under no circumstance will crimes of this nature be tolerated under my administration, and we will not turn a blind eye to injustices as they arise. As mayor, I have pledged to bring a new era of transparency and accountability to all corners of city government, and I intend to make good on that promise," end quote. Mayor Walsh's administration had refused, as you said, to make these files public. There's a lot of energy and churn since your story came out on Saturday. Do you anticipate that Mayor Janey will take different steps than the Walsh administration did?
That's hard to say. I learned long ago not to try to predict what's going to happen next, because you never know. And obviously, Mayor Janey is new to office, so I'm not going to try to guess exactly what she's going to do. I mean, I know that what we found was that this came up in a lot of the cases that we looked at, that there was kind of a blanket rule that anything involving, domestic violence, involving sexual abuse, or that could be somehow brought into kind of an active ongoing investigation, no matter how long that investigation had been pending, that the department would just withhold the entire file. So they wouldn't provide, not even redacted versions of files. They would just say you can't have a single page of it. So we encountered this, time and time again.
Since you've reported this story, what kind of reaction are you hearing, or getting?
There's still a lot of threads to follow with the story. There certainly has been a lot of reaction. It's been a little bit all over the place. I mean, a lot of people are raising the same questions that we have. We're trying to figure out how, after the department sustained a charge against him back in 1995, how he was able to remain on the force. And now, one thing to be clear is that what happened in 1995 was he was first charged criminally, and the criminal case was dismissed. But then the department went ahead with an internal affairs investigation. And those investigations have a lower burden of proof than the beyond a reasonable doubt of a criminal case. And that internal affairs investigation, they sustained the charges, which means they more than likely believed that the allegations were true. So what we're trying to figure out is how, after the department made that determination, how he was able to keep his badge and remain on the force for as long as he did.
And I'm assuming that we can assume that you're going to be on this story for quite a while to come.
I would assume. I mean, obviously we're continuing to try to push to get, redacted versions of the records, because what we're interested in is how the department handled it as an institution. When Internal Affairs does an investigation and the charges are sustained, it goes up through the chain of command. There's multiple layers that have to sign off on it. And then when a charge is sustained, it also means that there's supposed to be a punishment, some sort of discipline. And that also remains a question mark. We don't know what, if any, punishment or discipline was put in place.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us. That's Boston Globe investigative reporter Andrew Ryan. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you for the time.
So joining us now for a reaction on this story is Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, who represents Hyde Park. Councilor Arroyo, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So you've been outspoken on issues of police accountability, police reform. Let me just start by asking you your reaction to this story when you saw it over the weekend.
Initially disgust, frankly, with our institutions for this. My heart broke for this family and for these victims. And I also, quite honestly, took a moment to reflect on folks who aren't being highlighted right now in this way, where they're seeing their story and their injustice come to light. Folks who are still in the city today, who are trying and struggling to figure out, when it will be their turn for justice to be served on things like this. We're very clear and we're very aware that though this is a particularly egregious example of someone who has done wrong while wearing a badge, continuing to be able to wear a badge, this is not the only situation in which this has happened, and that we currently do have officers serving who have been charged in something similar, I would say. For instance, the May 31st body cam recordings went public, where the sergeant on the video was stating to another officer how he had hit individuals with his car. And the Boston Globe did an investigation into this particular sergeant, and they found that he had been charged, but that he had faced an accusation of rape, that Dan Conley did not actually, who had considered the case for prosecution, did not end up charging this sergeant. But a year later, that sergeant agreed with the department to accept a one-year unpaid suspension after an internal investigation concluded that he, and I quote, engaged in an inappropriate sexual relation with a highly intoxicated woman. And so that is somebody who's currently still wearing a badge and still working the streets. And, you know, these are the kinds of cases where we really do have to do something to figure out how many officers would qualify as folks who should not be wearing a badge, as I think, frankly, obviously, Officer Rose and this sergeant would qualify.
So, Counselor, I can hear in your voice how strongly you feel about this. You and the entire City Council are calling for a, quote, full independent investigation, unquote, into how the Boston Police Department handled the allegations against Rose. So I'd like to know what specifically you'd like to see. For example, who runs that investigation? Is it the new Office of Police Accountability and Transparency? Are they far enough along to do it? What do you want to see come out of it? What explicitly are you hoping for?
So that's a great question. No, I do not believe that at this moment in time that the Office of Police Accountability is actually far enough set up to conduct this investigation. But in the future, I do believe that is a body that could do this. What I would like to see from this is, you know, one of the major reasons that I have been steadfast in the reforms that I've called for when it comes to the Boston Police Department is because time and time again in this country, it has been proven that police do not do a great job of policing police. And if we're going to have an investigation into something like this, I want to know who knew, what they knew, and what they did with that knowledge, and how the institution itself was able to protect someone like this, who then went on to have enough success to eventually become the Boston Patrolman Association president. And so, you know, from the standpoint of that, that's something that we need to know, and there needs to be accountability there. But I'm also very, very, very interested in figuring out what happens when we kick over that rock and we figure out just how many cases like this exist where we have a case, you know, in 1 year, we learned about Patrick Rose. In the same year, we learned about a Sergeant McHale who was accused of rape and accepted punishment for improper sexual engaging in improper sexual activity while on duty with an intoxicated woman, and is still practicing right now as a still walking officer. And so the question that I have is, how many cases like that do we have? So for me, this is a two-part investigation. One is looking into who knew, what they knew, and what did they do with that knowledge when it came to Mr. Rose specifically, but also how many more are there, and what are we going to do about that moving forward? This isn't just a one-stop investigation.
Yeah, let me break in there. So earlier today, Counselor Andrea Campbell, who's the chair of the Committee on Public Safety and Criminal Justice, said that she filed a subpoena for all the records from BPD pertaining to the Rose investigation. She did that on behalf of the City Council. Should we expect to see other acts like that from the City Council to blow open not only this, but it sounds like you are determined to get a level of detail from the Boston Police Department that we have not had in the last couple of decades?
Certainly am. And so I would agree. Yes, we would look at doing as many subpoenas as possible. And I would just note for the public so they understand, when we do these subpoenas from the City Council, the law essentially states that they have to get this information back to us within 10 days. Most recently, with the budget issue, I subpoenaed my office for their minimum staffing levels, because one of the things we hear all the time is we need more police officers, we need more money, we're underpaid in terms of how many, we're under resourced, we're understaffed. But they won't give me, and they actually refuse to give me, officially refuse to give me, their data on what their staffing levels are, citing it was a public safety risk to do that. And so when we talk about subpoenaing them, there's a culture, and I think it's been proven here as well with the Boston Globe and the sort of roadblocks that they ran into with the administration prior to this, of getting transparency on just basic information that is required, I believe, to, you know, what they said was that they could not give me that information for public safety purposes. But I think that that information actually, it contributes to the public safety. And I think that's the same thing we have here with these kinds of investigations where, you know, I look forward to receiving those documents. I hope that this administration gives us those documents. But I know that in the past they've roadblocked and they've created obstacles to us receiving that information. But I intend to, along with my counsel colleagues, press as hard as we're legally allowed to press for that